Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better over
here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Battery run times vary by device and setting usage. Terms and conditions apply. For safety information, visit Inogen.com.
Hey everyone, it's Boomer Esiason here. Superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your game, all with the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Now, 92.9 FM ESPN presents Memphis's biggest columnist.
You ain't got to do nothing, homeboy. You ain't writing nothing. No, you ain't. He ain't writing nothing. I ain't letting him write. He ain't getting no interview.
It's the award-winning Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian and the Jeff Calkins Show.
I don't get no interview. I know. I'm good.
On 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is something they call a groundbreaker.
Good morning, Memphis. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN. We're starting to get into the depths of summer here. We're starting to get into the depths of summer sports.
Especially considering we still have to wait another 3 days for the NBA Finals to start.
Yeah, we're waiting on the Finals. We're waiting on the Stanley Cup Finals as well. There's not a whole lot on TV unless you're into college baseball, which we do have going on right now.
And softball, too.
Softball as well. My Crimson Tide got bounced from the College World Series, so I'm a little upset about that. But we still have a lot to talk about. There's a lot going on in the sports world. Let me set up the show for you today. Coming up here in about 30 minutes, we're going to talk about Memphis football. ESPN released some quarterback tiers. I think it's fascinating where they put Seth Hennigan. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Memphis's chances to make the college football playoffs, as well as the FPI index, which was released, which I think has some interesting information on a lot of those teams. At 10 o'clock, we will talk to Chris Harrington, my colleague, as we always do. Chris is, of course, in the process still of moving to Minnesota, but still writing for the Daily Memphian, still a big part of our team. We're going to record a podcast
today. I'd say he's officially moved. He's in the process of getting settled.
Yeah, that's a good point. I guess there's a difference between getting settled and moving.
Yeah,
I still consider it moving. If you're unpacking boxes, you're still moving to me.
Yeah, but then you're moving for, like, the entire length of the house.
I suppose.
Do you ever really, like, you moved in the last year. Are you, like, fully unpacked?
Yes.
How long did it take?
A few months.
There
so I had a, not to go down this rabbit hole, I had a nightmare scenario in which, you know, I signed a lease for a place, and the place that was promised was not delivered.
Yep.
And ended up having to live in a different place for about 2 months and move things into storage units and move things around. So by the time we actually got to the place where we were going to get settled down, we were like, we got to unpack everything now. We've just been living among boxes for 2 months at this point. We were just ready to be done. So I still consider unpacking to be part of the moving process. And then at 10:30, I think we will bring on the host of this show, who is in Michigan currently, Jeff Calkins. We'll talk to him. He did a nice column about Superlow, so we'll ask him all about grocery stores. I'm interested in his dialect in terms of grocery stores, or not dialect, his vocabulary, because I think where I grew up, what people call a grocery is a lot different maybe than what people might say here. So I'll ask him about that.
All right.
I'll see if there are any differences there. But first, Jeffrey, it feels like a perfect day to play Believe It or Not.
Now it's time for Believe It. Believe.
I don't even know if I believe.
Now I'm a believer.
Or not. Believe It or Not. On the Jeff Calkins Show.
Penny Hardaway still enjoys being a college basketball coach.
Believe it or not.
This is a good one to start. All right.
Hot one right out the gate.
I'm going to say I do believe it, but I think it might be less than ever.
I believe it.
I think he still, in the end, does. I think it is. I think, like a lot of things in life, I think he built up this job in his head as this was going to be some magical, wonderful thing. And I think he's starting, like, I think it is. I think he realized it before now, but I think it has fully set in that this is like a lot of things in life. There are things that you enjoy. There are things that you do not enjoy. And it is a job. I think more than ever, he's realizing it's no longer like this idea or this, you know, this fantasy. I think he's realizing it's a job.
In fairness to Penny, this job is a lot different than the job when he took over.
I think that's more than fair.
Because when he took over, it was like instant number one recruiting class, instant hype. The team was expected to be awesome. Of course, that fell apart. Not exactly his fault either, the way that fell apart, I would argue.
Yeah, he is more at fault, though, than I think. I think it has been respun that it was like, I mean, I guess it depends how you look at it. The irony is there's in no universe would James Wiseman be ineligible in today's basketball.
Exactly.
So I think that is entirely true. I also think that Penny had been warned about I think Penny played dumb, acting like, well, we didn't know this. We didn't. There were plenty of people that were saying, hey, you can't do this. You can't do that. And he ignored them. And in the irony is, like, in today's day and age, none of that would have mattered. So it's kind of, I don't know, it's kind of like, how do you balance that? Because on the one hand, it's like, there were plenty of people that said, hey, this is going to be a problem with you recruiting Wiseman.
I would agree. But to get back to my original point here, it is just an entirely different job with the NIL, with the transfer portal, with you know, because if there were no transfer portal, Penny could still be bringing in the number one recruiting class, you know, recruiting.
Maybe, but I guess this would be my argument to your point about it's a different world. I mean, I think the other huge difference now is the schools that you were clearly ahead of in 2018. It's not necessarily the case. Like we're seeing bottom tier SEC schools that are recruiting at every bit the level of Memphis, and that never happened.
Yeah, I do believe that Penny still enjoys doing the job. I think he truly does care about the kids, or not even kids anymore. Most of them are 23, 24 years old. But his players, his college players, I think he cares a lot about them. Most of them have only great things to say about Penny. You know, we only bring this up because, I mean, yesterday, if you saw the clip of him speaking out at the AutoZone Liberty Bowl golf tournament to benefit St. Jude, he just did not seem like he was in a particularly cheery place. It's hard to blame him because David Jones feels like left when the decision a lot of people felt was clear that he should have come back to school. And so there have been some twists and turns here, and I think he may feel like he's under some unfair criticism or scrutiny in a situation like this. And so maybe it's not quite as enjoyable as it was in the honeymoon era when he was first taking over the program and bringing in number one recruiting classes. But we should know, we don't see Penny in the practice gym. Like, we don't see that. I mean, and the guy loves basketball. So I think he still enjoys being the Memphis coach. It is just interesting to me that, you know, the way that that went yesterday was fascinating because you don't, I mean, sometimes that usually happens when you've taken a few bad losses and you're maybe not feeling as good about your team or the job that you've done. For that to be happening in the middle of summer, that just, it just raised an eyebrow.
I think that's a great point because the thing that was interesting about yesterday, it's not necessarily the fact that Penny's like, I don't want to talk about basketball. I'm here. Because on a certain level, you can actually make the case that's a good thing. Because oftentimes when Penny starts talking about basketball, that's when you get a little foot and mouth disease and says things that get used against him and whatnot. So on the one hand, you can make the case that maybe this, if this is going to be kind of the way that it is now, that's not necessarily a bad thing in terms of what he says about the program, amplifying, because Penny's in the unique situation because of who he is. Anytime he basically says anything, it's news, and it gets amplified.
Also, in fairness to Penny, because I'll be the Penny defender this morning here, the reporters were told that he doesn't want to talk about basketball. Let me put it this way. I don't blame them for asking about basketball. It is their job. If I were in that situation, I may have done things differently. That may have been an opportunity. You know, I might have asked about how is your, like, and people might say, you don't care about this, but there's a different way to approach it. You could have started by asking about his golf game and he's got literally custom clubs and like.
Our boy Munns yesterday, his first question was, so how are you?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose that is trying to loosen it up a little bit, but he didn't want to talk about that. So it's, I understood, but the I reason, guess, his frustration.
The reason why I'm mentioning that is, The thing that I find interesting, though, is even the most curmudgeon-y, surly coach you'll ever see, typically in college basketball, when it's the summer golf circuit, that's like the best time to talk to them. Because there aren't, to your point, there aren't games going on. They're not taking wins and losses. And the thing that made yesterday at least noteworthy to me is during what is usually viewed as kind of the sunny season, it was very, very cold.
Penny is still recruiting. I was listening to Jason and John yesterday and heard a lot of their conversation about Arthur Kaluma from Kansas State. Averaged 14.4 points, 7 rebounds in the Big 12 last season. Is one of the biggest names left in the portal. Is probably the biggest name left for Memphis in the portal. Memphis does
that seems
seem
fair to
heavily
say, yeah.
involved. You would like, I don't know if specifically trying to replace David Jones in the role that David Jones played would be a smart decision for this team because David Jones' skill set was a little different. I do think Kaluma would be potentially a better defender. Would be a better defender than David Jones. And that would not be an insignificant piece to add. And I do think, you know, part of me thinks Penny seemed to make it a very big deal that his whole roster is here and that he's able to work with them. I'm not 100%. I think that does benefit you in terms of giving you some time to set some level of a pecking order and try to get the team in the shape it was when Kendrick Davis and DeAndre Williams were like clearly the leaders, and it gives you a chance to establish some of that. But it can also be overvalued a little bit. Like, you still need good players on the roster.
Oh, well, yes.
What I would have hoped is that they would have been able to bring some players back to have a little bit of continuity, and that speeds up the process of establishing your leaders and things like that. But I do think if you can bring in a guy like Kaluma, you just do it.
The reason why I think it's actually important, because if we're talking generally, I tend to agree with you. Give me the best roster I can and then figure it out. But one of Penny's weaknesses, in my opinion, as a coach, is if he doesn't have an established locker room, I don't think he's the greatest team builder. And I don't think it's something that has ever, you know, if you look at his career, it's not really something he's ever had to focus on. The reason why I think it's a big deal is the more you can get these guys around each other, the better chance you have of establishing a better cohesive unit.
WNBA players are jealous of Caitlin Clark.
Believe it or not.
Yeah, 100% I believe this.
Okay, so if you're not following the drama, we had the hard foul by Kennedy Carter against Caitlin Clark. It was a hip check.
I would say it was more dirty than it was hard. Like, to me, when I think hard foul, like, I think of, like, you're in the lane and someone makes sure you don't get the ball up.
So Kennedy Carter has since spoken about the foul.
Chinity. Yes.
Chinity. Sorry.
Yes.
Forgive me.
No, it's a name I had not seen before.
Chinity Carter has since spoken about the foul and said that she has no regrets and she embraces the hate, saying, quote, "I'd rather you hate me than love me, and I mean that on my dead aunt."
Mm-hmm.
On my dead aunt, first of all, I've not heard that one yet. That is a good one. And I saw that Dan
The obvious question, like, how close were you with your aunt?
Probably pretty close.
I mean, I need to know.
Probably pretty close.
As long as she is probably pretty close, I agree that that is, like, that's, those are fighting words.
But I'm kind of on the side of John Martin. I don't know if you saw what John had to say. It's just that this is mostly just basketball. Look, no. we applaud antics from Dylan Brooks when he was doing it against other team stars, and it was successful.
Mm-hmm.
Caitlin Clark didn't play very well in that game, by the way. Didn't play well in the next game either, got hurt, but didn't play well really over the course of the entire weekend.
Yeah, the problem with watching Caitlin this year, and I've done it a lot, or at least in the WNBA, her team really sucks. And there are plays that, like I noticed this in the first or second game. She makes passes where if she's playing at Iowa, playing with other players that she's been with for 3 or 4 years, like, they just know where she's looking and whatnot. Now she's anticipating stuff and nobody's on the same page. The biggest thing is she's not shooting the basketball like she had been. But my biggest problem with anyone that says to the contrary, I have no problem with it being physical and, like, all the fouls and stuff. Like, I don't have a problem with that. But let's be clear why they're doing all that. It's because of the attention she is getting. And they think that, you know, we saw this in the UConn team broadcast.
Well, also because she's a good player. And she's, as you said, one of the only good players on the Fever.
So might be, yeah.
If you want to be physical, if you want to have those antics and try to get in her head and try to, that's strategic basketball to some degree.
Right. But that doesn't explain the, like, that doesn't explain...
It doesn't explain the, like, off-the-floor comments. I understand that.
Correct. And so, and by the way, this is not unique in sports. Like, I mentioned this yesterday afternoon. I remember when Tiger came onto the scene in 97, or 96, before he wins the Masters. And all the old guards saying, like, well, because Tiger had a Nike deal. Tiger had all this, the same thing. Like, Tiger had been given a ton of money up front, and he had not, quote-unquote, won anything. And you see the old guard saying, like, we'll see what it's like on this tour. There's a lot of good players. Well, we saw. He beat them all, and he ended a lot of their careers. When LeBron came into the league, his own teammates were like, well, he's a high school kid. We'll see how it goes. And I'm not saying that Caitlin Clark's for sure going to be Tiger or LeBron, but my whole point is it all is rooted in the same thing. It's people are upset and jealous that she gets the attention, she's got the money and whatnot, and they don't think it's deserved. Now, I am also in the camp with you where the stuff that's getting done is like, that's what happens to young players in any sport. Like, they sit there and they find out, what can you take?
We also got a comment from Angel Reese, who obviously was the...
She was celebrating the hip check, yeah.
Yes, she was celebrating the hip check. She also was the opponent for Caitlin Clark,
the foe, yeah,
throughout her college career. She said, I know I'll go down in history. I'll look back in 20 years and be like, yeah, the reason why we're watching women's basketball is not just because of one person. It's because of me, too. And I want you to realize that. Your thoughts on Angel Reese's commentary.
I'm totally go, Angel, go, if she'll actually just commit. The problem that I've had with Angel Reese is she'll do this. She's ready to accept being the villain. She'll put the crown on the bench before the tournament game for Caitlin Clark. And then afterwards, she'll be like, we don't have a problem. I don't know. It's the flip-flopping, the back and forth, the trying to speak out of both sides. If she'll just commit, I'm sitting there going, this could be like one of the great things to watch for 15 years.
Oh, I hope it becomes that. I hope we get a magic versus bird situation here.
The problem is she does this in and out thing.
I don't think what she said is necessarily wrong. The storyline for Caitlin Clark in college basketball is in part because she's a fantastic player, but in part because I can tell you why I was watching the tournament, because those LSU and Iowa games were unbelievable, and they were like rivals that you loved the fact that they didn't like each other.
We had stories.
So she does play part of a role in this, for sure.
There's no question. The only other problem, though, I see with it being Angel is Angel's going to be a post player. She's in the paint, whereas Caitlin's going to be mainly a perimeter player. With that said, like, if she'll just accept, like, I'm going to be the Caitlin Clark foe, well, I'm all in. Like, this gives me something to watch. I would push back a little on the, we're not going to just watch for one player. It's possible.
Like, that does happen across all sports.
I mean, Tiger.
People watch for LeBron.
Basketball in the 90s, Jordan. Then it became, you know, Kobe I guess it's Kobe and Shaq, but then it's LeBron, Steph. Like, we will watch for one player.
Hey, people watch, there are thousands of Taylor Swift fans that are watching Chief games solely because of
millions.
Travis Kelce. Millions.
Not thousands, millions.
Millions, thank you.
Millions of millions and millions.
All right. Justin Jefferson is worth the largest non-quarterback contract in the league.
Believe it or not.
All right, I think I'm going to say I believe this. All right, I do struggle when you break it down and you're going, you're really paying a receiver $3 million a game? I always go back to when Jeff likes to put me on the spot and go, would you do this? If you're just saying, would I pay my number one receiver $3 million? My answer is probably not. Justin Jefferson is in that bucket of receivers, though, that I would have as the highest paid guy. And let's also be clear, part of the reason why they can do this is their two quarterbacks are Sam Darnold and a rookie. Like, so they're not paying their quarterback, therefore you can pay. It's the same thing when, you know, in the end, the Chiefs make the decision, we're paying Mahomes, we're not paying Tyreek. You let Tyreek walk, well, why can the Dolphins take him on? Well, the Dolphins had a rookie quarterback. And so, to me, if you're going to pay a receiver, Justin is definitely in that bucket for me, so I would say I believe it.
He got 4 years, $140 million, including an $88 million.
That's the signing bonus. It's $110 guaranteed.
$110 guaranteed. Next closest is $84 million for A.J. Brown. Beyond that, $77 million for Amon-Ra, guaranteed. And $76 million for Jaylen Waddle, who just got a new deal.
Right.
Guaranteed.
Now, like, using the juxtaposition, would I have paid Jaylen Waddle? I don't know, man.
That's more
difficult.
That's
a lot for a number two.
That's definitely a little bit more difficult. I would say this. I don't hate the move for the Vikings. I think it's smart to keep your best players in town, especially someone that's as universally popular as Justin Jefferson is, who's pretty beloved by pretty much everyone, I think, football fans across the league. I wonder, do you think it works better to try to pay weapons around a quarterback, which is exactly what my team, the Bears, did, or to try to find the quarterback to pay and not worry about the weapons around him?
So I guess the way that I would say this is, who's my quarterback? So my argument would be is, if you have Patrick Mahomes, yeah, you can surround.
Is he the only one that works with?
We'll see with the Bills this year. I think Josh Allen is in that category. I mean, even a guy that I love, Joe Burrow, like, when he doesn't have all the weapons, it doesn't look the same. When he does have all the weapons, that's when you sit there and go, like, oh, my God. But, like, you know, if you have Jamar out for a game and T's the number one, it doesn't look the same. When T's out, it doesn't look the same, even when you have Jamar. So the guys that I would probably put in the bucket of, I think they can win no matter what. Right now, it might be the only one that you feel safe saying is Mahomes, but we're going to find out with Josh Allen this year.
Who is the last title team to do it the other way around, to put a bunch of weapons around?
Probably say the Eagles when Nick Foles, when they had the shootout with Tom Brady.
Yeah. But that seems like it was a while ago.
It was 2018, wasn't it? I think it was the 2017 season, 2018 Super Bowl. So, I mean, what, we're talking 6 years?
That's kind of my point. Is you're best equipped if you have... I mean, I suppose it makes sense to pay the weapons while you can, but I'm not certain that those teams end up being championship teams. Look, the Niners tried it. The Niners came awfully close.
I mean, if Patrick Mahomes doesn't exist, the Niners do it.
Yeah.
Maybe twice.
Yeah.
Because they almost did it with Jimmy Garoppolo and last year with Purdy. I mean, the problem is the standard being good, or is the standard being a Super Bowl champion? Because we all want to believe, hey, our team can win it all. The reality is one team gets to win every single year, and you're living in an era in which one player is going to clearly be dominant. So I don't know about you, but we root for bad football teams. Wouldn't you just settle for, like, play some meaningful games in November?
Oh, 100%.
Like, you know, in the last 10 years, the best season my team has had is Daniel Jones going like 9-7-1 and then beating Cousins in the playoffs. But I was appreciative. It was like, it was fun to turn a game on in November and Sunday going like, I hope we win.
I feel like almost right out the gate this year for the Bears, especially given the fact that they're on Hard Knocks and they're going to have all this attention on them, I'm going to be cheering for the team to win and not just to look respectable.
Take for instance, like, let's use the Lions last year. Like,
there is a Hard Knocks bump to this.
There definitely is. And it can also work both ways, though. Sometimes we'll see a team on Hard Knocks and we're like, like the Hugh Jackson Browns, when you're like, oh, this guy's incompetent. Like, this team's going to be really bad. But, like, take the Lions last year. Yeah, they didn't win a Super Bowl. But is there any Lions fan out there that wasn't like, that was the best football season we've had in my entire lifetime?
Not that I know.
I mean, it's the most playoff games they've won in a row.
Yeah. I think it was a good move by the Vikings.
It's actually the problem that I struggle with the NBA. So much of the conversation is like, as soon as a team gets bounced, blow it up. There is value in being good. Like, giving
not Chicago Bulls good.
I would argue that's not good.
You don't want to be a fringe playoff team.
That's the definition of mediocre. You're a play-in team. But if I'm sitting here, when people are like killing Cleveland about the possibility of keeping it together, I'm sitting there going like, I would try to keep it together. Like, as much as it's functionally possible. Like, if you have two guys that can't play together, okay, well, maybe move one off. But just because Cleveland is not an NBA title contender, you shouldn't just sell off everything. Like, do you realize how hard it is? Like, if you don't, when you're good and they're nearly 50 win good. Like, it's so easy just to become Orlando.
And well, yeah, I mean, nobody would want the Grizzlies to disband if they won 50 games and lost in the second round this year.
Right.
Be like, run it back.
Correct. Yeah. Hey, maybe next year's the year you get over the hump.
Yeah. There's something to be said about faith.
All right. I do agree with you. When we're talking exceptionally mediocre, yeah, no, I'm 100% with you. Like, if you're just a perennial maybe make the play-in, no, screw that.
Sticking with the NFL, going to an 18-game schedule would be terrible for the NFL.
Believe it or not.
I should add some context here real quick.
They're going to it. Like, let's just be real.
They are.
It's a matter of when.
They're talking about changing the summer off-season program for the NFL. Basically, right now, it runs April to June, and everything is voluntary except for the one-week minicamp, which is taking place
right.
Typically right around
there are time. Mandatory OTAs, and there's other OTAs which are not mandatory.
Under this new proposal, it basically wipes out spring ball, and you have to show up at the end of June or the beginning of July for training camp, and it's all going to be mandatory. But the reason that they're talking about even changing this off-season program is because it's leveraged to go to 18 games.
Right.
Is 18 games a mistake? Too many injuries. I've seen that brought up. There's a lot of coaches. There was a story in The Athletic today, and Jeff Howe wrote it, and basically he had anonymous coaches saying, this is a disaster. We want to be able to spend more time with our family. Now we're just limited to this one little spring window. We don't want the schedule to change.
All right, I'm going to say I don't believe it's a mistake with the caveat that I think the 17-game schedule is a mistake. Can we all agree as sports fans, when you have an odd number of games, it screws with our brain? Like, is 9-8 good? Is it? Like, the thing that used to be so perfect about the 16-game schedule is you knew what the definition of mediocre was, 8-8. If you went 8-8, you're like, that is the definition of a mediocre team. 9-7, and they were pretty good. You know, they weren't great. They weren't a title contender. They were pretty good. 10 wins became a bigger deal. Like, that's a 10-win team. That was a different category. So now that we're getting into 18 games, at least it's clean. I will now know 9-9 is the definition of mediocre. Like, so at least I'm settling that out. I think the biggest reason they're doing this is what the NFL has figured out is
it's dollar signs too.
Well, it's not even it's always about money. But in the end, what they've really realized is forever it used to be like we have the TV deal, but we also want to get, you know, an extra game of revenue from in the building. Well, now what they realize is basically every weekend of sports, they can just tack on about another $150 million. So, and then if you tack on another playoff game, that's another $150 million. So essentially what they're doing is they're just creating more inventory for the TV product so to sell it at a higher level. So therefore, it's like, I don't know, where does it stop? There is going to be a point in which you do flirt with what the NBA has done, which is you create so many games that your season's so long that you start diminishing your regular season. The thing with football is it's still one game a week, so you're not quite flirting with it yet.
And yes, there's one game a week, and you know that every weekend there's going to be people sitting there watching the NFL.
But the question, if there were 40 NFL games, that would be a different thing. We're not there yet, but like,
they will never get there.
The one risk in this is when you start to have those late season games not feel as important or matter as much, that's going to be the problem. It's like when you start getting into December and you have a team that's maybe locked up the division and they're just going to like take a month off, that's where it can start to matter. And then when your teams are just so banged up that you feel like you're just watching like a preseason game, that could be a problem, but we're a long way from that.
We have some breaking news, Jeffrey.
Uh-oh.
Kristaps Porzingis has played in several scrimmages for the Boston Celtics and, according to Shams Charania, is expected to return to action for game 1 of the NBA. I think most.
By the way, didn't we know this?
No, it was expected, but it hasn't. It was not made official, right?
I thought Woj said something like he'll be available game one.
Maybe. I might have missed that, but we just got the Shams tweet that it's official.
Okay, there we go.
Turn to action. I think most of Memphis is cheering for Boston. I think Boston is the preferred choice. You know, it's hard because you have Boston is definitely they've had their successes, so no one's going to feel bad for them if they don't win the finals. But at the same time, Dallas appears to be a team that could become like a Western Conference rival for Memphis, is in the same division, has the superstar player that rivals Ja Morant. I don't know. Feels more like Boston would be the preferred choice among people here. So I will go. I will give you one more, believe it or not.
Jim, all right, let's do it.
Ready? Kyrie Irving will keep his cool through the first two games in Boston.
Believe it or not.
I'm going to say I do believe it. It seems like he is aware. He seems to be very image conscious right now.
We got a quote. I'll read from, this is an ESPN story from Tim McMahon. This is what Kyrie Irving said on Monday at Mavericks practice. I think I'm better at consolidating kind of the emotions now, or being aware of what is going, or of what it is going to be like. We call it animosity. We call it hate. We call it, it's going to be hell in Boston. I mean, there are real life circumstances going on in the world that are bigger than the basketball. Kind of the competitive side of things and answering those questions. But I will say, last time in Boston, I don't think I was the best. Not this regular season, but when we played there in the playoffs and everyone saw me flip off the birds and kind of lose my S a little bit. That wasn't a great reflection of who I am and how I like to compete on a high level. Pretty self-aware quote from Kyrie Irving right there.
But like, don't you feel like this entire like playoffs has kind of been like an image rehab? Like the going on the TNT set, yucking it up, like I'm a different Kyrie. Like it feels like it has been a very conscious.
It doesn't, but here's why it doesn't seem fake to me. Because it's happened over the course of an entire season.
No, I
and ever since he got to Dallas, like even in the minor interactions, even in the interactions with the local media, he still seems like pretty happy and settled.
No, I totally agree with that. It's like the basis of my answer, but it is still like image rehab.
To some degree it is, but I don't think that it's...
It doesn't mean image rehab can't be genuine.
I guess it does. Yes, that's the point I'm trying to make. I think that he will keep his cool in Boston. I do think that it's going to be particularly ruthless. And as we talked about yesterday, I do sit here and wonder if... Next week, you guys will be talking about on the radio how ruthless it was towards Kyrie. I do think that the Celtics are pretty equipped to deal with the Maverick stars. They have Jaylen Brown, Derek White. Like, they're going to be equipped to go after Luka and Kyrie, whether Luka is just so special that he can take over the game anyway. I think is the main question here. I'm not sure Dallas matches up that well with Boston. So if this series takes a turn, if the Mavs go down 2-0, if they have to go back to Boston for a game five, let's say, that's when I wonder.
No,
if
I think
things will get out of control.
When it feels like they're losing, is that's the real question. It's like, what does it look like?
And I do wonder how Kyrie would react if it's the other way around. You know, if he's getting his revenge on Boston, is he going to have fun with it?
I'm going to say no. I think he's kind of taking this high road right now. And I think it's like, I think it's conscious.
I think a lot of people would respect it if he took the high road.
Listen, to be clear, I'd be fine if he wants to rub it in their face. Like, that's kind of the whole point. Like, it goes back to what we were talking about with Angel Reese and... I don't mind animosity in sports. I don't think that competitors should all just get along. Like, if you want to rub it in someone's face, like, that's fine.
Well, I don't think we'll have any stomping on leprechauns or burning a sage. Or maybe,
I think that's fair.
Maybe no double birds from Kyrie. Well, as I mentioned earlier, ESPN put out their FPI for this season. Memphis is down in the 60s. They also released a tier for quarterbacks at all 134 teams, We'll tell you where Seth Hennigan is when we come back. This is Drew Hill filling in for Jeff Calkins on 92.9 FM ESPN.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Unsportsmanlike, Jeff Calkins, Jason and John, Giannato and Jeffrey, The Gabe Kuhn Show, Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
It's the NBA on 92.9.
92.9 FM, ESPN.
When people have a craving to explore new and traditional Asian cuisines, they head to P.F. Chang's, where scratch-made dishes come from the 2,000-year-old tradition of wok cooking. P.F. Chang's wanted to explore new possibilities for their website. They turned to AmericanEagle.com. AmericanEagle.com re-architected P.F. Chang's website, integrating multiple third-party systems to create a unified digital experience. The results? Improved page speed and performance, personalized content based on users' location, intuitive online ordering, an increase in organic search visibility, and a 40% increase in new users. For scratch-made Asian cuisine, visit your local P.F. Chang's or go to pfchangs.com for website design, development, digital marketing, and hosting that produce efficiency, revenue, and results. Visit AmericanEagle.com. P.F. Chang's and AmericanEagle.com. Another example of the best businesses in the world. Turning to the best in the business for websites, go to AmericanEagle.com or call 877-WEB-NOW-1. That's 877-WEB-NOW-1.
Getting quality employees to fill positions in your company is essential.
But finding those people can be a major hassle, unless you use ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter makes finding quality people a breeze. And right now, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. With ZipRecruiter, one click sends your job to hundreds of top job sites. But more than that, ZipRecruiter's advanced technology identifies the candidates with the skills you need, sends you a list of great matches to review, then actively invites them to apply for your job. And the results speak for themselves. 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. That's right, the first day. Now you can focus on your business and let ZipRecruiter do the work finding the best people for you. See for yourself. Experience the ease, efficiency, and power of ZipRecruiter for free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
I'm John Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Don't be impressed when you hear someone settle their case for what may seem like lots of money. $500,000 seems like lots of money until you learn they lost both legs, had a brain injury, or were paralyzed and can never work again. All law firms are not the same. To see what your case may be worth, go to ForThePeople.com and look at our verdicts and settlements for cases just like yours. Look before you leave. Hire the right lawyer. Morgan & Morgan.
Visit ForThePeople.com for an office near you.
It's the first day of the first grade, and she found a new best friend. It's a laid-back Sunday afternoon you wish would never end.
The homemade taste of Bluebell and good friends gathered round. The good old days are being made right now.
Grab a frosty mug and try the newest flavor from Bluebell, A&W Root Beer Float Ice Cream. A creamy vanilla-flavored ice cream swirled together with an A&W Root Beer-flavored sherbet. A new way to enjoy your favorite root beer float.
The good old days are being made right now.
For Bluebell ice cream at High Point Grocery in High Point Terrace, Memphis, Tennessee, and Food Smart supermarkets of Arkansas and Missouri.
You know, Kathy, when my friends shop for insurance, they usually say, I am so over this. Ugh.
What they should be saying is, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I'm Kathy Thurman Edwards, the agent on Brookhaven Circle.
Kathy and her team are great. They understand your frustrations with rising costs. Reach out and ask them to help you with a game plan to know what your coverage is and why it's important to you.
901-767-7744. Remember, I'm not as cute as Jake, but I'm better looking than a lizard.
When you list your house with Josh Hysaw, you can sell it quickly. Michelle was getting divorced. The way these things go, she didn't want the sale of her home to slow down that process. So she called Josh Hysaw, explained her urgency, explained she didn't want to wait. She needed to get the house sold quickly. And that was not a problem for Josh Hysaw because he has home buyers waiting, looking for houses, just like Michelle's, honestly. Closed quickly. Thankful that Josh made the sale. Thankful for the whole entire process. Josh Hysaw has flexible fees, no upfront cost, and he'll let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free. So if you're selling your home, for whatever reason, call Josh Hysaw and his team at Keller Williams Realty. The phone number, it's 901-461-8147. Once again, phone number is 901-461-8147. Or you can look them up at joshhasthebuyers.com. joshhasthebuyers.com.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader, like that car riding your tail. Or if you're tailgating right now, all those cars doubling as kitchens and living rooms are on Auto Trader too. Are you working out and listening to this ad at the same time? Well, multitasking pro, cars like the ones in the gym parking lot are for sale on Auto Trader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on Auto Trader. Just you wait. Auto Trader.
At Lowe's, save big every day when you buy in bulk. Save 10% when you buy 68 or more OSB sheathing. Plus, get an extra 5% off every day on eligible purchases when you use your Lowe's business credit card. Visit us in-store or online for low prices on the materials you need. Lowe's knows pros. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. 5% off are subject to credit approval. Exclusions and terms apply. See store at Lowe's.com/credit for details.
Our lives aren't like they used to be. They're busier. Early morning Zooms, grabbing coffee to make that in-office meeting, getting to your kid's soccer game on time. Life is different, and so is advertising. To reach any audience, you need your message out there in all media, broadcast to streaming, on screens, and right to the ears of your customers. And that's what we do at Odyssey. Let's build a media campaign that targets the customers you know and want to reach more of, right here in our community. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Jeff's guests appear on the Frame Corner phone lines. Frame Corner, with expert custom and do-it-yourself framing since 1975 on Park Avenue in East Memphis. Now, back to the Jeff Calkins Show, live from the Genesis Memphis Covington Pike Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian.
Welcome back. Drew Hill filling in for Jeff on 92.9 FM ESPN. As I said earlier, ESPN released a tier ranking for quarterback situations, not quarterbacks, Jeffrey. It feels like a bit of a cop-out.
Okay.
Feels like a little bit of a cop-out.
Okay. So the quarterback room.
If one of these guys were ranking backup quarterbacks as well. Quarterback team. Mm. And I was looking through it this morning. I'll just go down the list of the top three here, the top three tiers. In tier one, you have Alabama with Jalen Milroe, Georgia with Carson Beck. I'm not going to name all the backups. Oregon with Dylan Gabriel and Texas with Quinn Ewers. Any problems with that?
Yeah.
You're not a Milroe guy.
Not the biggest Milroe guy. Also, though, mainly Dylan Gabriel does not belong in that list. Dylan Gabriel is like somewhere... To me, like, Dylan Gabriel is like the definition of like tier two quarterback. Like, he's good, but there's like, he's not special. I'm a big believer.
I would agree, and I think Oklahoma's record and national relevance over his stint there is a pretty good example. A team that was set up to succeed last year.
Correct. If you can lose a 3-score lead at Kansas, you're not tier one.
Okay, tier two. Arizona's Noah Fifita. Colorado's Shedeur Sanders, Kansas's Jalen Daniels, Miami's Cam Ward, Utah's Cam Rising.
Shedeur, I'm fine with.
Yep.
With Fatita, Fatita's in that mold of I want to see him do it without those freak receivers.
And now a new coach.
I think Jalen Daniels is like the type of, like, to me,
Jalen Daniels
is closer to Dylan Gabriel than Dylan Gabriel is to Carson Beck, in my mind.
I would agree. Cam Ward obviously came from Washington State, transferred to Miami, was rumored to go pro, felt like he could be a riser in the draft boards and might get picked.
What was it, Incarnate Word? Yeah. Is that where he started? I think it was Incarnate Word, then he goes to Wazoo.
Good quarterback. I just don't trust Miami.
If you put in a Cam Ward highlight tape, you'll think that he's the number one pick. It's watching him throughout the game.
Cam Rising, I've got no problem with in tier two. And here we go. Tier three.
All right.
Memphis's Seth Hennigan, Missouri's Brady Cook, Ohio State's Will Howard, and Ole Miss's Jackson Dart. Seth Hennigan, first player named in tier three. Your thoughts on Seth?
So, did they give us a definition of what this tier is?
This is checking the upside meter. You had at the top tier was cream of questionable crop players. And then tier two is it's tier one with an asterisk. And then tier three, you've got checking the upside meter.
I guess I'm fine with him being in this tier, but I would also phrase it this way. If you're picking a quarterback, he goes fourth, right? If you're taking your generic team of those four options, isn't he the fourth one you'd pick?
I think Brady Cook is. It's
Cook
questionable.
Cook is a better athlete, and he's definitely got a bigger arm. I mean, Cook did go 11-2 in the SEC last year.
I wonder what Seth Hennigan could do in Lane Kiffin's offense.
I don't think he's mobile enough. The big thing with Kiffin is you've got to, like, for them to really maximize you, you've got to be willing to run.
Here's what they wrote about Hennigan. Hennigan over the last seven games of the year was 6-1. 67.4% completions, 8.5 yards per attempt, 21 touchdowns and 2 picks. He averaged 333 yards of offense per game. In his bowl game, he completed 70% of his throws with 4 TD passes against an Iowa State defense that was allowing less than 55% on completions and had given up just 17 passing touchdowns in 12 games previously. Hennigan has 79 career TD passes in 3 seasons at Memphis. If he just hits his career average this season, he'd finish with 105, putting him in the top 25 all-time, tied with Marcus Mariota.
Yeah, I think Seth is a very productive player.
I was thrilled that he came back, and I think he's a great quarterback. And I'm happy he's getting recognized and put in this. Like, that is quite the company to have, if we're being honest. This is a quarterback that has stuck with Memphis, and all of the programs that have been named so far are either major tier, they're all Power 5 conference programs, obviously, so he's number one of the group of 5. But in addition to that, many of them are national powers. And then right behind them is sitting Seth Hennigan, who, by the way, has chosen to play at Memphis for his entire career.
I mean, with the exception of tier 2, which is kind of like a, it's like the, basically what tier 2 is like, we think these guys are good, but we don't think their team's good. That's kind of, and then tier 1 is like, these are the actual, like, title contenders that we believe in. Tier 3 is basically, like, the next guys. And he's in that tier. I still would say this. If I put it up to a vote, and you're not asking Memphis fans, I think all the coaches would take him fourth in that list.
I'm not so sure about that.
I think that that's the case.
Those other players are at major programs for a reason, but I don't know if we can know for certain what Seth would do at a national power school.
There is that, but like to me, like the thing with that you notice with Seth is I don't feel like when I'm watching Memphis play that Seth just elevates them. I think the reason why Seth is so successful as a college quarterback is you can trust him.
He's consistent. That's a major quality to have as a college quarterback.
But the other guys, I could sit there and go, like, they elevated their teams.
I think Seth Hennigan makes the Tigers much better.
I think he makes them as good as they can be. But I don't watch him go, man, he just put the team on his back.
Was Brady White different?
No, I would say that's fair, but I also don't have Brady White is like
right. I'm just curious because Brady White took the program to heights it had never seen.
Right, but I would also argue the team around Brady was heights that the program had never seen.
Right. We also got FBI.
This was actually interesting.
Some of this stuff is fascinating. In the FBI numbers here that they've shared. One of the things that they shared was group of 5 odds to send at least one team to the playoff. So many people have sort of handicapped this as either the American or the Mountain West. The 2 teams that have been identified most often, I think, have been Memphis and Boise State. It's interesting because they give the American a 41% chance with UTSA as the leading team to make it to the
playoff. That's the more interesting thing to me is that FPI with these updates – they now have UTSA as a better team than Memphis, and more importantly, UTSA game on the road for Memphis.
Figures to be a massive one. San Antonio, great city. If you get the chance to go to that, if you're a big Tigers football fan, that's the game to go to, in my opinion. I love visiting.
Well, especially with the Tulane game being on Thanksgiving night.
Right. And then Mountain West, they give a 34% chance. Boise State is the leading team at 16.9% chance to make the college football playoff. And then the Sun Belt coming in at 27% behind that. That's higher than I would have expected.
Well, the problem that the Sun Belt's going to have is the Sun Belt might have the old eat itself, where they have, you know, they've got 6 or 7 pretty solid teams, and running the table is going to be pretty difficult.
We also got the biggest games on the 24 schedule based on combined rankings. So these are obviously national power schools playing against each other. Surprise you at all that Georgia and Texas is at the top. I mean, most people would probably circle Georgia at Alabama as the biggest game of the year, I would assume. But Texas has been a better team, is expected to be a better team than Alabama. It's just, that's going to be one of the first, that's going to be one of the biggest crossover games between the SEC additions and the current SEC powers.
It actually doesn't surprise me because we've seen Alabama and Georgia. There's something unique. And yes, I know we had the Sugar Bowl, whatever, when Bevo and Uga had the run-in. But these two teams are ahead of the pecking order of Alabama. So to me, that doesn't surprise me that that's the biggest game so far.
It is not the biggest game in terms of highest leverage on the college football playoff.
Oh, it's going to be in Oregon. You got to remember, is it going to be Oregon, Ohio State?
The Big Ten. Big Ten is your hint.
I don't have Oregon's schedule in front of me.
It's Ohio State at Penn State. They have as the number one game.
I wonder what's going to happen. Is Ohio State going to win by a little? Is Ohio State going to win by somewhere in the middle? Is Ohio State going to win by a lot? Like, we see this every single time.
Michigan at Ohio State comes in second with a 36.5% leverage. I don't even know what that means.
I think that's
their leverage.
I think that's the percentage that it ends up being a good game.
After that, Missouri at Alabama, a little surprising, but I guess that they figure that that may have impact on who makes the playoff based on projected wins. I know they projected Alabama to have 3 losses, Missouri right around the same.
Oh, okay. Oh, so here's what leverage means. It measures the average change in probability for both teams, depending on whether they win or lose. So basically, it's like a knockout game. Like, so that's not what they have as their biggest game. The biggest game they have is Georgia at Texas.
Right, but that's the highest leverage game.
Right, so basically it's like, if Ohio State or Penn State, whoever loses that game, their odds shrink dramatically. That's basically what it's saying. Michigan at... So it's basically, if you lose this game, you're at a much greater risk of not making the playoff. Whereas if Alabama loses to Georgia, they're still probably fine. If Texas loses to Georgia, if Georgia loses to Texas, like, they're still all fine.
Right. That's how you end up with games like Alabama and Tennessee on here, Florida State and Notre Dame, Tennessee at Oklahoma, Tennessee at Georgia. Tennessee, the Vols are on here an awful lot.
FPI likes the Vols.
They do.
FPI's, I think they got him at 9.
Is Memphis too low at 66 in the FPI?
Probably. But
if you look at some of the teams around them, it just doesn't seem right.
I mean, probably, but at the same time, there's a case to be made. Memphis is getting a lot of mileage out of a bowl win against Iowa State, in which Iowa State, you can make the case, wasn't super pumped to be here. They didn't play all their guys. And more importantly, Memphis ran a defense at them that they hadn't seen before. Now, Memphis kicked the crap out of them. Like, the defense, not like it was very obvious they're the better team, but Memphis is getting a lot of mileage out of that. In the two biggest games that mattered last year, they basically lost by 2 scores. Like, yeah, you get the touchdown late to make it look like it was a 1-score game against SMU, but you know, you lose by 2 scores to Tulane, you lose by 2 scores to SMU.
It did feel like the momentum was headed in the right direction at the end of the season, though.
I totally agree.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do. I'm fascinated in that how they will look against Florida State. I don't think that Troy game is going to sneak up on them. I hope I'm right about that and that they can take care of business there. Then you go on the road at Florida State. I'm not saying that they have no chance to win the game.
I mean,
they're going to be a massive underdog.
They're going to be a 3-score underdog at the minimum.
But it'll just be great to get the overlap.
I guess if Florida State, like if DJ gets hurt in Ireland, okay, maybe not. But like presuming health and whatnot, they're going to be at least a 3-touchdown underdog.
Right. And you'll get
not the game that matters.
You'll get all the great Mike Norvell stories out of that. You'll get Silverfield and Norvell hugging at midfield. You hope that you have a good showing there. And that game isn't going to really impact your college football playoff chances unless it's just a beatdown that's so bad. I think that that's a great opportunity, and it's an opportunity to play against a good team, and that's the game I'm looking the most forward to. I never got the sense that anybody was really upset at Mike Norvell when he left, and so I think that there's still a lot.
Won a title.
A lot of love. For
one
Mike.
Title.
Yeah, the biggest, won a title.
When you win a title and you leave, like most people.
But I was thinking about this morning. Now that Memphis, And part of that reason, too, was because Mike Norvell didn't really matter what he did. He wasn't going to be able to get in the college football playoff because the system was working against Memphis at that time. Now you could. So now if you had a coach that brought you to the college football playoff and then eventually left for a different program, do you think people would be upset?
So I think the other big thing about Norvell leaving is I think it would have been there would have been more animosity if he would have went to like an SEC school that's like local. Like if Mike goes to Arkansas or if Mike goes to Ole Miss or something like that, I think there'd be more animosity. The fact that he goes to Florida State, most people go, well, it's Florida State.
Mike was also a great person in the community here.
Yeah, no, he definitely, like in terms of the being the face of the program, he did that really well. I always say, like, it depends on when your coach leaves, it's like, A, where does he go? Like, it needs to be a place where most people are like, well, of course he went there. And I think what makes it more and more complicated is we're now seeing there's fewer and fewer jobs where you can make the argument, like, oh, that's a no-doubter, go there. And then, honestly, the biggest thing is, like, okay, well, did they go 12-1 and make the playoff, or 12-2 in a first-round playoff appearance? Well, most people would sit there and go,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's better over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.